I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Data from the Vermont Department of Motor Vehicles for 2018 says that 58,000 Vermonters have suspended driver's licenses. That's about 1 in 10 drivers in Vermont. The privilege to operate a motor vehicle can be suspended for a number of reasons. For a charge of driving under the influence, for leaving the scene of an accident, for stealing a car, or for gross negligent operation. But those are all criminal violations, and they account for only 5 to 10% of the DLS citations. The vast majority of those many thousands of people who have a DLS, a driving while license suspended, had their licenses suspended because they couldn't pay fines from a previous civil violation. So, for example, they got a speeding ticket or a ticket for driving on an expired registration, and then they didn't or couldn't pay the fine. So a penalty was applied, and then they couldn't pay that. And then maybe they got another ticket. If you accumulate enough points on your license in a 2-year span, you'll also get your license suspended. But the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says that about 75% of suspended drivers drive anyway. And many feel that they have to if they want to keep their jobs to have any chance of paying off their fines or keeping their homes. In 2015, when there was a one-day amnesty event for drivers in Chittenden, Franklin, Grand Isle, Lamoille, and Washington counties, more than 1,000 people showed up to pay off old tickets at a much reduced fee. But beyond amnesty days, what should be done to avoid people essentially being penalized for being poor, while also making sure that the traffic and road laws of the state are obeyed? That's what we're going to talk about today. In a little while, we'll be joined by Attorney General T.J. Donovan. But first, we turn to Vermont's Defender General, Matthew Valerio. He's in charge of 35 public defenders working in 7 county staff offices. He's been a proponent of reforming how Vermont handles suspended driver's licenses for 18 years. Matt, it's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So the thinking around suspending a license for unpaid fees or for a buildup of points is, of course, to make sure that people are obeying the laws that we have in Vermont around driving and vehicles and inspections and insurance. But what's the effect in practice of taking away people's right to drive in this way?
Well, in practice, it really just perpetuates what started the problem, which is the poverty of the individuals who are subject to the suspension. We've studied this issue many times during my 18 years as Defender General, and there was a time when DLS represented 10% of the public defender misdemeanor caseload, far and away the highest numbers of any individual crime that we were dealing with. But the problem goes back and has been recognized since the mid-90s. I was checking the statute this morning, and the legislature has changed the DLS statute 12 times since the 90s and 8 times since the year 2000, trying to get a handle on it.
In other words, it sounds like the state has been trying to figure out the right balance and the right approach, but maybe hasn't, in your opinion, quite gotten it yet?
Well, I don't even know if it's my opinion. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. We have at various times, we've just kind of reset the clock and said, everybody who has a suspended license, you are now no longer subject to a criminal penalty. We're going to reset the clock. And then in a couple of years, our numbers go right back to where they were before there was a statewide amnesty. There was a period of time a few years ago during the Douglas administration when DLS was decriminalized. And while you might have fines, it never ended up in the criminal court. The number of suspensions never changed, but you had particular individuals who were true scofflaws, and they would rack up, you know, 39 or 40 civil tickets and just throw them out the window of the car as they drove away.
Because they knew that nothing really bad was going to happen to them?
Right. I mean, you can report them for, you know, do a collection action or ruin their credit or that kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of people that If you aren't of means, you don't have a credit card, it doesn't matter to you. So you're focused on how am I going to get to work? How am I going to put food on the table? How am I going to get the kids to daycare? And you have to drive in a rural state outside of the very, certain relatively small areas in Vermont where there's public transportation.
You know, I mentioned that NHTSA stat that 3/4 of people who have their license suspended are driving anyway. And so if that's true, does it suggest that we're actually not being successful in any way, either in the penalties that we're trying to achieve or in the solutions that we're trying to come up with? I mean, if people get a suspended license and then say, yeah, but I got to get to work, or my kids have to get somewhere, or, you know, I need to eat and I live rurally, I have to drive. I mean, what does that say about our system?
Well, that it's not working. But my sense is that it's not working pretty much anywhere. Bonnie Rutledge, who used to be the DMV commissioner for a long period of time, and she probably was around for 10 years during my tenure as Defender General, at one point was the chair of the National Commissioners of Motor Vehicles Organization, and she said this problem is nationwide and that nobody has really ever gotten a handle on it.
Cameron in St. Johnsbury said, I once had my license suspended for failing to pay a ticket that had been forgiven. The state trooper never put the paperwork through after I proved inspection within 7 days of the warning. That particular officer also left the state police, compounding my problems and causing a 6-month back and forth between me, the DMV, and a sergeant at the barracks. The Newport City cop, who later pulled me over for a headlight, found my license suspended and ticketed me. Over the course of the 6-month confusion, he let me drive to work and back home the whole time. Then one time I went to the grocery store and he got me again. Both tickets were forgiven once I had the proof of my license that should never have been suspended. And Andrew says, I once got a speeding ticket in New York. I promptly paid it, but the New York DMV never told Vermont I paid my fine. So completely unbeknownst to me, I was driving around for about 2 years with a suspended license. Never had any idea until I was pulled over for not making a complete stop at a light on red. Then I had my car towed. That was a real fun time. So, you know, two examples there, Matthew Valerio, but what about you? What do you hear about what people tell you when you're working with them on these criminal violations about how it affects them to be unable to drive?
Well, you know, honestly, with these folks, it ends up pretty much devastating their ability to work. That's the fundamental thing. You know, sometimes you can have people assist you with groceries or getting the kids around, and those things are obviously, you know, important. But you might be able to keep your, you know, schedule around those kinds of things. But when it comes to work, it has to be on a particular schedule, and that seems to be the biggest concern. But they also, at some point, they just give up because they're overwhelmed by the accumulation of fines and just dealing with the bureaucracy to unravel the problems that those two listeners, for example, apparently worked very hard to unravel.
We got a note from Danek who says, this seems like one of those situations that takes a counterintuitive solution to improve the lives of residents. It's kind of like the drug problem in Portugal. To address the problem, the government decriminalized drugs. They found that the punishment caused more problems than the crime. Doing things differently can be unpopular, but the outcome can be a better way of life. Many say Vermont is different in its attitudes and the way Vermonters live their lives, but the truth is the opposite for now. This is regressive. So what about Danek's suggestion there? And I don't know if Danek's
done it.
Yeah. So you mentioned that during the Douglas administration, license suspension was decriminalized. You couldn't get a criminal license suspension for, you know, an accumulation of fines, but that didn't work either.
Well, it didn't reduce the number of people who were under suspension. And law enforcement came into the legislature after that and said, you know, we feel like we're wasting our time out here because people are just tossing tickets aside. The interesting thing is, the number of suspensions didn't go up and they didn't go down. It really just didn't change anything.
Mm.
So then the legislature changed again in one of their many changes in the last decade plus and said, look, you can get 6 civil violations before you end up in criminal court. And then there was a little bit of a lull and eventually people ate up those 6 civil suspensions and ended up in criminal court yet again.
Yeah, and now it's, you know, 3 suspensions and you get a criminal violation. So what do you think should be done?
I think one of the things we can do is to have some kind of conditional work license, something where just for purposes of, you know, doing the necessities, you can have a license. I don't know how that enforces, you know, I don't know if that's going to change anything. I mean, when it was decriminalized, it didn't change anything. You know, maybe Bonnie Rutledge had it right, which is this is just a problem that is not really solvable as long as people are willing to drive contrary to the law.
So what about not suspending licenses at all?
You know, there's a question about what the whole purpose of a license is. You know, is it a some sort of regulatory scheme? Is it a scheme to raise money like a tax, just a fee to raise money for the state? And others would suggest it's actually just a way of getting everybody kind of in the system so that they're known to government and they have an identification, you know, that can prove their residence and citizenship, that sort of thing that really doesn't have anything to do with driving at all. If that's the case, then perhaps, you know, the two issues should be separated.
So we got a note from Dave who references what he says are data from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. And Dave says – so I haven't verified these numbers, but Dave says analysis of trends over the past 20 years shows that there's been an increasing trend in the proportion of fatal crashes involving drivers who were unlicensed. We need to keep these people off the roads. Find a way to make sure they get an apartment near their workplace. And other people have written in to say, you know, you've got to find some way to keep them off the roads, but just letting them continue to drive is not the answer. What do you think about that?
You know, that I think that that doesn't get at the fundamental problem, which is the poverty issue. And I also think that it's the kind of thing that is very hard to do in a rural state. You know, most people don't live right next door to where they work, nor are their apartments available to them right near where they work. It's a kind of a throwback to a more punitive idea of how you deal with these things. And I don't know that I could verify what the statistics were that he was talking about. I would have to do some research on that. I've been part of at least four study committees on DLS, and the idea that people who are DLS are more dangerous than the general population probably doesn't surprise me because they get more tickets. I don't know that I don't know how you get around that particular issue.
Matthew Valerio is Defender General for the state of Vermont, and he's been looking at and thinking about these license suspensions for a very long time. Matthew, thank you very much for being on the program. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
We're getting more comments here on this. Alan writes, what matters is keeping the roads safe. I think a license to drive should be based on safe driving behavior and insurance coverage. I don't think anyone should have their license revoked just because they can't pay fines. Any given fine could be absolutely ruinous for a poor Vermonter while being nothing but an annoyance for a rich one. I'd love to see Vermont lead the nation in basing fines for moving violations on ability to pay, a sliding scale in which the sting is commensurate with the offense. On our Twitter page and Twitter handle, we're getting some conversation around this as well and a nice back and forth. And Dr. Rick Barnett, a clinical psychologist and addiction specialist in Stowe, mentions that in some cases, people who have a DUI for driving under the influence can actually get something like an interlock device and have their ability to drive be reinstated, making it easier for people with that kind of license suspension to drive again. Interesting perspective there. You can go to Twitter and find us. We're at Vermont Edition, and I'm at Jane Lindholm. Barbara writes, I hope we look at the process of restorative justice for DLS. Suspending a license is the punishment. It might not be the best one. In Vermont's rural areas with no public transportation, charging fines for DLS results in unintended consequences. A referral to restorative justice instead requires the offender to think about the consequences, strategize to resolve it, and get support for changed behavior. Coming up, we'll talk more about this, get more of your calls and emails in, and think about what could or should be done when it comes to suspended licenses. And we'll be talking with Attorney General T.J. Donovan, who's been working on ways to address this downward spiral of fines and even criminal citations. Let's take a call from Alfonso in South Burlington. Hi, Alfonso. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I think some important information regarding the conversation around DLSs is that, as you mentioned, there are differences in why someone's license gets suspended. There are, I would say, two species of DLSs, one for failure to pay a fine and the other as a result of a criminal offense. And prosecutor offices, I think, around the state, and I would just caveat that I don't necessarily represent the view of the prosecutor offices in the state, but that prosecutors understand the challenges of living in a rural community and one where a vehicle is an indispensable tool for people to get to and from employment in order to support themselves and their family. What practically happens regarding DLSs is that a prosecutor will look at the offense, will look at someone's criminal record, and usually what happens is that cases are typically dismissed if a person gets reinstated. But there are some, for people who don't get reinstated, there are some hefty consequences in that a typical DLS might have a $300 minimum fine or 40 hours of community service for a first offense. But that's not it. There are also hefty penalties, surcharges that are statutorily imposed by the court. So for a DLS, it's a $197 surcharge plus 15% of any fine. So even though it's a $300 fine, it would end up being around $400 or $500 or more, depending on each offense.
But, and Alfonso, are you a prosecutor? You know this from experience?
Yes. Yeah. So I am a prosecutor, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, just bringing up all of these details is sort of making my head swim. And if you're somebody, you know, who's got a DLS and you're trying to figure this out and you're trying to figure out also how to coordinate not driving if you're worried about getting more fines with, you know, how are you going to pay this off? How are you actually going to figure it out? What if you have to go to court? Boy, is it confusing. Alfonso, thanks for sharing your perspective. Joining us here in the studio now is TJ Donovan, Vermont's Attorney General, and he's worked on DLS reform starting back when he was Chittenden County State's Attorney. And so you've thought about this for a long time. Welcome back to the program. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
So we were talking with Matthew Valerio, the state's Defender General, about this, and you know, him saying, look, this penalizes the poor because, again, if you're able, and we're talking mostly about the civil violations, which are the majority of the ways that a DLS starts, that somebody has a suspended license is because of a civil violation, not because of a DUI or leaving the scene of an accident. But he was saying, you know, this penalizes the poor who can't pay that initial fine and then find themselves in this system that they can't quite get out of. And that seems to be where you've come from as well in terms of how to address what's going not right in this DLS system.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important to note that this is a poverty trap. It's also important to note that roadway safety is incredibly important in a rural state, and we should put to the side the DWI license suspension, which I do support. That's a criminal offense, and those are preventable crimes and, frankly, preventable deaths in this state, and I think that's very important to note. But the vast majority of suspensions, Jane, are civil suspensions, and as you noted, civil suspensions can result in a criminal conviction. And Matt Valerio was correct. The law has changed numerous times over the years. And I think the current law is, I talked to my good friend, State's Attorney Sarah George this morning. It's either two or three civil suspensions now result in a criminal offense. And they're still overwhelmed by it. And no prosecutor wants to go to 3 years of law school to go into court to prosecute traffic tickets. And the numbers are staggering. And this is according to a Vermont DMV report. The total number of active suspensions, now a person can have multiple suspensions, that are in effect today, close to 280,000.
Close to 280,000?
Yeah. Stunning. Stunning. And 140,000 are because of non-payment of a traffic violation. When the system is broke, which these numbers indicate it is, you have to change the system. That's why we did the driver restoration program a few years ago. That's why I support income sensitivity in terms of paying, because it does not work.
That idea that we read a comment from before, that somebody should pay a fine that's more based on their ability to pay it, that it should hurt the same for somebody
absolutely.
Who makes $50,000 a year as for somebody who makes $250,000 a year, you support that idea?
I do, because we have to do something different. This doesn't work. And when you look at the definition of insanity, it's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Matt Valerio was right. This debate has gone on for the last 20 to 30 years in this state, and we have continually marginalized the poor in this state in the name of public safety. It has not worked. Let's have the courage to admit that it doesn't work. 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever we did that Amnesty Day, I think it was in 2015, It's in March of 2015, actually. So almost 4 years ago this month, I was struck by the number of people that showed up. But I was also struck by this. If you give Vermonters the opportunity to do the right thing, they will do it. Give Vermonters the opportunity to hit the reset button. Why are we penalizing people who are poor? Why are we penalizing people who you have already talked about today who are going to make the choice, do I drive to work so I can pay my mortgage, pay my rent, put food on the table for my kids, and pay the heating bill? That's an easy decision. They're going to drive and they're going to take care of their kids. And no system should be based, the budget should not be based on the expected violation of the law.
Let's go to some calls here. Ralph is with us from Waitsfield. Hi, Ralph. What's your perspective?
Hi there. Thanks. It's great to hear your guest really willing to look at this with fresh eyes, because it's definitely not working. But I guess I'm not surprised, although it's sad to hear the numbers about this. I'm not that surprised, because this is just in line with so many other regressive policies, and even just around driver laws, DMV stuff in general, one of which was the recent issue you had on about Vermont's inspection, which is also very regressive and is kind of this spiraling effect of it's really expensive to be poor, basically. And I think if you follow the money, you look at why these things maybe were instituted in the first place, but certainly doesn't seem like it's working very effectively.
Yeah, Ralph, thanks for your perspective. On the line with us as well is Brendan Del Pozo, the chief of police in Burlington. Chief Del Pozo, you have some thoughts on this as well?
Yeah. Hi, Jane. Hi, TJ. Thanks for being on and discussing this. It's something that we've given a lot of thought to in Burlington. One small thing is that Europe has had progressive fines for speeding for quite some time now, and there's a famous story of a Swedish driver driving in Finland who got a $130,000 speeding ticket because that was the amount that he should pay based on his income. Regular Finns might have paid $600 or $500 for the same ticket. So this is old news in Europe. But what we found is that it not only affects the poor, but suspensions affect drivers of color really disproportionately. And when we looked at our own data, we were wondering why it was that Black and Hispanic drivers, but predominantly Black drivers, were getting warned at a much lower rate than white drivers. So if you get pulled over at the roadside, the chance of a Black driver getting a warning rather than a ticket was like 15% lower. Once you controlled for suspensions, once you just looked at drivers who had a valid license, it was even. Whether you're Black or white, Hispanic, Asian, the chance of getting a warning at the roadside was completely even. It was about 75 to 80%. But it was the suspensions, because we found our Black drivers were suspended at 250% the rate of white drivers. You don't give a warning to somebody with a suspended license because they've already shown that they don't pay attention to the tickets, right? That's the argument. So why would you give them a warning after that? And once you control for that and factor it out, we found that there was parity in how drivers were treated in that regard at the roadside. So, you know, it affects not only the poor, but I think there's a correlation between drivers of color and poverty in our state, especially among the new American population. And so the effects are further reaching than you might suspect.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that into the conversation, Chief Del Pozo. We hadn't talked about this being an issue of racial justice as well when we talk about license suspensions and how it's affecting the Vermont population. Appreciate that. That's Chief Brendan Del Pozo with the Burlington Police Department. Let's get one more thought in here before we return to you, TJ Donovan. Arlie is calling in from Salisbury. Hi, Arlie. Nice to hear from you.
Hi there.
Hi, go right ahead. You have an experience to tell us about?
Yes, I do, actually. Just last week, I got pulled over for a license plate light out. One of the two the officer said was out. As I was pulling into the grocery store that was about to close in 10 minutes, Middlebury, needless to say, I missed the grocery store because of the traffic stop. But I did get a ticket for a suspended license that I wasn't aware of because I had an unpaid fine.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm already living paycheck to paycheck as it is. And there's a program that the Judicial Bureau has where you can pay off your fines $30 at a time. And I had missed a payment there. So that it becomes suspended. So the officer gave me a ticket, and I had explained my situation, my financial situation, and my situation pertaining to that evening of what I was trying to get done in a small amount of time. And I was about 30 minutes from home, and it was really cold out. And he wrote me, he said he was going to send a ticket in the mail. He asked for my address. And then he said, so I assume after I drive away, you're going to ground this vehicle in the parking lot for the night, right? And kind of winked at me. So I feel like he was empathetic towards the situation and kind of gave me a chance to, I don't want to throw the police under the bus, but I think he gave me a chance to bend the rules a little bit.
Yeah. Arlie, thanks for sharing your experience, because you're bringing up, you know, exactly what we're talking about is something that's happened to you recently, and you didn't realize, you know, quite where you were with those fines, and paying them off is difficult. And if you miss a payment, that changes your status in the system. But also, you know, about what potential leeway law enforcement officers have when it comes to this, in understanding that if they took your car because you're not allowed to drive it, you'd really be stuck. And so, you know, that ability to either look the other way or have a little bit of wiggle room in how to treat you is an interesting one too. But TJ Donovan, maybe you can pick up on what Arlie was talking about there with that ability to pay in a sort of payment system rather than having to pay your whole fine all at once, which is difficult for many Vermonters.
Absolutely. So the Judicial Bureau does have, which is the court of jurisdiction, if you will, on the civil traffic tickets. They do have that program where you can pay the $30. Also, through our office, through our court diversion programs, which are located in every county, I would urge Vermonters to call or go online and figure out what the number is at vtcourtdiversion.org, vtcourtdiversion.org. And we can help with a payment plan as well for folks. And this is, you know, again, I go back to this fundamental belief that when people make mistakes, most people take responsibility, want to do the right thing. But when it becomes overwhelming for folks and the bureaucracy of the system, and let's be also clear about this, Jane, this is a complicated system. Are you dealing with DMV? Are you dealing with the Vermont Judicial Bureau? Are you dealing with the local police? Or are you dealing with the Superior Court Criminal Division and a state's attorney? I mean, there's four or five different players here. And even for people who understand the system, who've worked in the system like me, it is complicated. And then those databases don't talk to each other. And it's really confusing. So we got to make this easy for Vermonters, like your previous caller, who want to do the right thing. If they made a mistake, they made a mistake.
Okay, but how can you make it easier? I mean, do you have the ability to say, we're going to change the fine system to make it this sort of gradated fine or you know, increasing depending on your means? I mean, how are we going to do that?
So I'm a big believer in amnesty. When it doesn't work, let's hit the reset button and let's give people the opportunity and something that people can understand. People can understand $20. Okay.
But Matthew Valerio said after amnesty days, the rate of suspensions doesn't decrease. So, you know, people get sort of...
You know, I'd like to look at those stats because I'm not sure those stats are out there.
Mm. So you think they pay off their fines, but then if you have a busted taillight, you're going to get stopped again, you know, and then you're going to get stopped again. Or if you get a speeding ticket and you still can't pay it because you don't make enough money. I mean, you might have had it wiped out once, but there's a potential to have that happen again and again.
There is, but let's also hope that when you have a busted taillight and you've been through this, you understand that it's incumbent on you to get the taillight fixed. I mean, there is some personal responsibility here and some common sense. And I don't think the answer is just to go through and say, you know, well, maybe I can get this forgiven. There's also a bill that has been introduced that we support in the Vermont House, introduced by Representative Martin Lalonde of South Burlington, which would essentially make a few of these civil tickets after 2 years expungible. Because the problem, whether it is in this system, in the civil system of the Vermont Judicial Bureau, or in the criminal context, these old records, whether they be the civil violations or the criminal convictions, keep people marginalized. And Chief Del Pozo was absolutely right. What happens roadside when that officer who may be inclined to give a warning runs the record and sees these previous suspensions that perhaps, like your previous caller, was an honest mistake? then that's the discretion where, okay, now I'm going to have to give you the ticket or you're going to get the citation to go into court. That's the arbitrariness of the system that I think we got to level out. This is hard, but I think hitting the reset button and kind of clearing the docket for folks is something that we should explore. And I don't blame Vermonters. I want to be clear. I'm not excusing. Personal responsibility plays a role here. But I also think it's incumbent on government to actually have the courage when it's our system that we're administering, when it's not working. 278,000 active suspensions in our state, in a state of 600,000? Now, that's not, as you said, you know, people can have multiple suspensions.
Right,
but
because if you get one and then you're driving, right. You get caught, you get another one. And
yeah, that is a stunning number. But my belief in reforming this system is that we need to give people an opportunity to comply with the law, and that is making it understandable and achievable for people to do it. And when they can't pay and it starts to double and get into the thousands of dollars or a couple hundred bucks, that becomes out of reach for folks, and they give up, they go underground, and that's the danger, because there is a public safety issue here too with insurance. There are going to be accidents on our roads, and we want to make sure people have insurance so victims can be compensated, so their medical bills can be paid.
Let me get one more call in here before we have to end. Mary is calling in from St. Johnsbury with a different perspective. Hi, Mary. What are you thinking?
Well, I do agree that the situation should be simplified and it should be clear for everyone and less complicated. But when you start assigning fines on a sliding scale, I feel that that is just unjust, because if the infraction is the same, then so should the fine. I don't believe that just because somebody has a better job that they should have to pay more money for the same infraction.
Yeah, Mary, let me stop you there and give this back to the Attorney General, because we have limited time, but I hear what you're saying.
In our criminal system, we have public defenders for people who can't pay. We provide lawyers based on people's inability to pay. Why are we now saying that this system of how we of punishment says that one size fits all? That's exactly what we're trying to get away from in the criminal justice system in terms of alternatives to incarceration, assessing risk, assessing needs. Why is income different? Why is ability to pay not that factor? And I don't want thousands of dollars. We can cap it and put a reasonable cap on it. But let's have the discussion, because these numbers are ridiculous. I think everybody would agree with that.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, and one that I'm glad we're having here, and one that I look forward to having more, you know, if and when these bills come to the floor, if and when we start to think about how to change the system. But interesting to open the conversation about what to do about license suspensions, many, many of them in the state. TJ Denneman is the Attorney General of Vermont. He's been looking at this issue for many years. Thank you very much for being part of the show.
Thanks for having me.